now listening to Triples in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is Admiral James T. Kirk of Federation Starship Enterprise. Your presence here is an act of war. You have 2 minutes to surrender your crew and your vessel, or we will destroy you.
Admiral Kirk, this is your opponent speaking. Do not lecture me on treaty violations, as this broadcast is intended for mature audiences. In the following podcast, there will be thoughts and opinions expressed that in no way reflect your Federation, this station, website, or affiliated partners.
Who is this? How dare you?
Who I am is not important. Listener discretion is.
You Klingon bastard.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of Starship Tribbles. Her ongoing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new content and new stuff, to boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Hello and welcome to episode 147 of Tribbles in Ecstasy. I'm your host, Midnight Shadow, and with me today, we have Black Magnum.
All right. Excuse me, I was swallowing. Hi.
We have Skipper.
Hello.
We have Witty.
Might as well join the crowd.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I was trying to do my signature hello, but man, I just like that was the wrong time. I didn't expect to go first.
It was the first time for everything.
Yep.
Now Star Trek Online. We have another cruiser, Tier 6. We have the Alachi, was it Shisha? So it's a Dreadnought cruiser. And it's only out for a short time. So it came out on Thursday. And it's only available until January 5th. Which you can get, it's a bonus for opening the research and development packs. So you either have a chance of getting some Lobi or the ship.
Yeah, I opened up some research and development packs today, but all I got was Lobi. I didn't get the cruiser. But you know, I think the research and development packs are the only thing that I feel are worth it in the the Zen store. To be honest with you, the Z store. I like those things.
Yeah.
It's probably understandable because at least you get some decent R&D stuff to help you, you know, with tech upgrades and whatnot. So
exactly,
that's probably more the issue more than getting Lobi than and the ship. Of course, you hear quite a lot of people saying, "Oh, they're just doing it to try and create some more revenue or something like that." A little bit desperate in the. On the bottom line or something like that, but
Yeah, see, that's the one thing I don't have problems spending money on is research and development packs, because man, those things are great. I love what they give us, and then you use that when you're crafting weapons or you're raising your levels of your weapons from Mark 12 to Mark 14. Yeah,
just need to get the Zen. That's the hard part.
Oh, you have a job. Come on now. Just take some money away from your kids' food, you know? They don't have to eat one night. I'm just kidding.
But no, the cruiser looks quite good. from what I can tell anyway. So, have you guys actually had a look at the stats yet?
Unfortunately, I have not. I just got back from work right before I got on TeamSpeak with you guys about 20 minutes ago, so unfortunately now. And right now I'm in the middle of that tide of ice, wave 6 right now.
Well, it comes with 42,000 base hull at level 40, which of course increases to 56,000 at level 60. 2,200 crew, 5 fore weapons and 3 aft, 4 device slots, and then bridge officer stations. It's got 1 lieutenant tactical, 1 ensign engineering, 1 commander engineering, a lieutenant commander intelligence or science, and 1 universal lieutenant commander. So, and then for the console, got 4 tactical, 4 engineering, and 3 science. And the modifiers you get with it is plus 10 power, plus 5 shields, and plus 5 engine power. And it also comes with hangar bays, and you can put cannons on it. So it looks like...
Yeah, that particular ship definitely looks like something more of a frigate or something along that nature, to with the size of it and whatnot.
Yeah, well, lots of people were complaining because there were no carriers on the tier 6 level. But yeah, now we've got 2 of them, don't we?
Yep.
Which ship was it that came out recently?
Well, it's the Breen carrier.
Breen, that's it, yeah.
Yep.
A complete brain freeze. So yeah, there are now 2 tier 6 cruisers that people have access to. Of course, that doesn't stop the people from complaining. They're still complaining that there's no
people Romulan will always one. Complain. You give them everything and they'll complain.
I know. So
there's always going to be someone in the crowd.
Yeah, true. It's usually Black Magnum, but
yep. Squeaky wheel gets the oil, baby.
But yeah, the tier 6 traits that you get for achieving level 5 in the mastery is a torpedo barrage. So it allows you to do a high yield bridge officer ability. Yeah, that's what you can unlock with that one. So is anybody actively trying to get that ship?
No.
No.
I'm honestly waiting for the fleet. The fleet ones, you know?
Yeah. Really, I wonder if there would be a fleet variant of that, because the Lobby ones, you don't tend to get fleet versions for a lot of them, do you?
No. But see, I fly the Guardian and I love that ship. I'm waiting for the fleet version of that.
I'm trying to level up my Pathfinder at the moment. I've got it to level 4 at the moment.
Oh, nice.
So, it's an engineer flying science, so it's the first time that I've been using a lot of the science abilities. So, definitely different. played a bit of Infected Space Advanced earlier on. And, yeah, I had so much lag, sort of literally. One moment I was hitting for the engines to go, and then it just froze several seconds later. I'm across the other side of the map. It's like, bugger. But luckily, the other guys knew what they were doing and carried on, and we did it all, including all the optionals, which was good. But yeah, just with the amount of lag that I had today, even when it came to going to doing the Winter Wonderland, I actually even failed the race as well, because my character just kept pausing, like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden I'm off the rack, off the racetrack, and it's like, no.
Well, I do have to say that an engineer in a science ship is pretty uber. You know, if the person knows what they're doing and knows how to set it up, you can have a really good ship if you're an engineer in a science vessel.
Well, one of the basic kit that I put on it. I did a ISA quickly just to do a quick DPS test, and I managed to get, I think it's only like 6,800 out of it. So it wasn't too bad, especially for a sort of science ship. Yeah. That's the only tier 6 one I've got, so that's the only trait that I can actively go for at the moment. So whether or not I'll stay with it, but I might try and practice more with that.
Do you find, do you feel that you're going to get other tier 6 ships so you can get other traits? That way you could take it with you, whatever ship you're in?
I would like to, but just don't have the money for the moment. Have to see how things go. But it's only because it was to get the Voyager pack. The only reason I stretched to get this one, to be honest. Intrepid was always my favourite ship, and Voyager's my favourite series. So I thought, no, I'm going to get that one.
Do you feel like you're Captain Janeway when you fly that?
I don't need coffee.
Do you feel like Chakotay? I'm just kidding.
No, but no, it's doing pretty well. But no, the Alachi Cruiser does look quite nice. I wouldn't mind getting that. Thing is, I tend to actually put all my siphon these days into getting like the R&D packs since all the new functionality came out. So, never know, might get it. But whether or not I'll actually just put it on the exchange to sell for EC to buy stuff for upgrading my kit, I don't know yet. So.
So does anyone have the Alachi Cruiser or no?
I think that was a all-round no for that, wasn't it?
Oh, it was? Oh, my bad. Yeah. I was killing the queen, the Borg queen at the time.
Oh, the Snorg queen.
Or whatever they want to call it. Oh, yeah. So this Alachi Cruiser is good for an engineer captain. If you're an engineer captain, that's something you might want to have. So if you're looking for R&D stuff, yeah, go buy the R&D packs and hopefully you'll get that ship if you're an engineer.
It definitely looks good. And especially, the thing is, even if you just get it or hope to get it to get the trait, because there's a lot of people who are tactical officers who like to do things with torpedoes.
True.
So having that as a starship trait would be helpful. Yeah,
that would be good.
Well, on the topic of the Alachi, we actually have an Alachi Alert weekend at the moment. So that is running from yesterday, which was the patch day Thursday, up until the 15th, I believe. But I'm not sure whether or not that will actually get extended due to the hours of downtime there was yesterday. There's been no announcement yet, but a lot of the team have been getting ready for the San Francisco convention.
Right.
A lot of them are going to. So,
I don't think I'll be going to that.
You
schedule conflicts. You know, us busy podcasters and stuff.
Well, I know I won't be going, but that's because I'm
I can't see flying halfway around the world.
Yeah, I'll just pop in for
an hour. Just pop right in there, yeah. There you go.
Well, I think it's been held at the Hilton Hotel, which is based at San Francisco Airport. So it's nice and close to the airport. So, you know, it's a pretty lame excuse.
Just need the money to do it now.
Actually, it's only like 40 minutes for me, so I could get there really quick.
But yeah, this weekend just gives you a limited time to do the event. It gives you sort of 50% bonus marks for it. But must admit, I haven't played it. I think I've actually only done that mission a couple of times.
Yeah, I have. It's just a bit of caution to the wind, though, there, where it's set up now that level 50 through to 59, or like one level, then it's a separate like advanced sort of level when you hit level 60. we end up finding out the hard way because with Terry Lynn from G&T show joining us yesterday, she wanted to give it a run because she had a bad run earlier where we had three people left and her and another person was left behind and tried to do it, and they were stuck there for an hour trying to do it, and they just end up giving up because they just didn't have the DPS to do it. I know Terry doesn't have very much in the way of DPS with her ship, so it probably didn't help very much either. But
yeah,
anyway, we tried to do a team together with Caspian to go give it a run for, you know, Terry's sake, but we couldn't do it because three of us were on level 60 and two were on level, you know, on a lower level, and they didn't want us to do a team queue because of the big difference in levels and whatnot. So just a bit of caution there.
Interesting. Well, hopefully some people managed to get some extra marks from it. Now, one of the blogs that have also been released was actually about building the Winter Wonderland. So, they don't really go into much detail about it, to be honest. So they basically just sort of say basically what direction they went in. But of course, the one thing they did do was they made it as that one big image again. Now, although it looks great, the accessibility in reading and printing and everything else, it's awful, especially from someone who creates and works on websites. You don't put all that text in an image. I know it's got the nice fonts, but really, they could just use Google fonts, get a nice one from there, link it in with some CSS, they're done. But yeah, hopefully they'll work out a way to actually make it a little bit more accessible to read on different devices and things like that in the future.
So put in simple words, it's not exactly a good thing for different browsers. That's what you're trying to say?
Well, not just that. Even just getting them noticed by search engines, or even for podcasters, if you wanted to copy and paste something out of it, you just can't. Because there's nothing to select.
Yeah, that's true.
They've done it because it looks good, and it really does look good, but you can achieve the same thing by just properly using HTML and style sheets. It just takes a little bit more planning.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I know a girl that looks really good, but that's it. I'll let this sink in.
I think I will.
I think I'll just leave that one there.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't saying anything, you know, with innuendos. I'm just saying, just because something looks good doesn't mean that, you know, it's helpful or beneficial. You know, it's just like if podcasters want to use, you know, a link or something, the photo looks great, the picture looks great, but you can't use it, it's really not beneficial.
Yeah. Plus, I also noticed that there's actually a spelling mistake in there as well.
Oh, that's nothing new.
Yeah, true. But, yeah, it's just like, no, stop it.
it almost made it so, like, quick, get something colourful that's quick and simple to make and don't worry about anything else.
Well, the thing is the layouts they use are basically the same. All they need to do is to create it once where it's got the styles in there that they need and they have sections. Now, because if you look at it, they've got the title, They've got background, so all they need to do is they have on the top part the background image, so it actually does the top part of the ice, and then you've got a repeating pattern of ice, so all they need is a section of an image, but they just make it that it can join top to bottom, so it can repeat downwards no matter how big the article is. And then they've got text that goes right across, they've got an image full width, they've got something where there's an image to the left, text to the right, which is right aligned. So you, and all they do is they just bring in those bits of text for all the HTML, and then they just add the actual content in between the actual parts of the tags.
Aren't they hiring? Isn't Cryptic hiring?
I think they're hiring for all sorts of things.
Yeah, you should go work for them, and then that way you can fix it and make it better for everyone. Yeah,
they're probably hiring everyone, every sort of like job description except web design.
So, but the thing is if you work for them, they want you to be there, so it's a little bit far to...
Just move to California. If you moved your family, move to California. And then you can work for Cryptic.
Become next door neighbors to Black Magnum.
Exactly. And then we can run the town together. You know, when we go into the bars, we'll just say, hello. And everyone's like, hey, guys. want a pint?
Yes, introduce them to the 49ers.
Mm-hmm. I sure can.
Yeah, introduces the 49ers and then that National Football League, that other sort of football.
Oh, it's not football, soccer. It's handball.
Oh,
they barely use their feet.
And I could take you to a real football game. You know, instead of all these people flopping, pretending to hurt, the people that do fall down are because they're hurt.
It's basically, it's rugby, but they wear protective kits to stop getting hurt.
And they're also trying to murder each other on the field.
And do quite a lot of forward passes.
Yeah. Anyway. Release notes from the 11th. They had a few things come out. They tried to make some improvements to Tide of Ice. They made it easier. They made all gun locks account bound. Which they then, well, basically got rid of that today, because they actually did another release where today all the winter event items no longer require any completion of Tide of Ice at all in order to purchase them. So it's good that they've done it, but it was a bit strange that they did it one day later. So just whether or not the functionality got missed or something, I'm not quite sure, but I think that's a good move. I can understand why they did it. They want people to keep playing, but I think there's been so many problems with the mission that they've just said, right, let's just leave that, just keep people in there and doing other things that they want to do to sort of get the ornaments. So yeah,
I've been noticing, sorry to interrupt, but you know, I've been noticing more and more in the winter event this year, a lot of people are complaining about things that are broken in the winter event. You know, like the tides of whatever, where you're killing the Boar Queen.
Yeah.
I just did that and I didn't get a reward. And this is my fifth time doing it without getting a reward at the end. Yeah. Yeah,
it's always,
but that's
strange.
One of the reasons why they're allowing everybody to go and buy the warp core, because they're not able to complete it.
Because I know when I've been going through doing some of the modding on the Stoke forums that I've seen people reporting that, but so far, well, I've probably just been lucky because I've always been granted the rewards at the end and the accolade parts. I've never had an issue with that myself. But, sort of, I don't know. Something I do is obviously slightly different, because I was also one of the very few people that didn't have an issue leveling up to 60. So by the time I actually got to the last mission, I was already sort of I was already sort of level 60 at that point. And it wasn't like I'd sort of done any grinding on any particular patrol missions or anything else. A lot of the missions on the ground stuff, I just did the most basic required stuff. The patrol missions, I only did the wrapper ones that you do as part of the story content. And apart from that, I'd just done some one lot of doffing each day and the mirror event. So it's not like I'd done anything sort of major. But yeah, for some reason, I managed to level up without any issues, which people, they're still saying they're having problems with.
Yeah, that's very good because a lot of people are having issues. I never had an issue leveling from level 50 to 60. I did that really quick. But I noticed in the winter event, there's been a lot more holes in it lately, and I don't know why. And I've been seeing complaint after complaint after complaint, so I'm not sure what's going on there. It's sort of weird.
Yeah, well, again, I've not had problems, but it's always the thing. People who do have problems, and they tend to shout the loudest anyway. So there's going to be a lot of people that aren't having problems that we just hear nothing from because, well, they're just enjoying the event. They're not having any problems.
Has anyone else did that Boar Queen mission and when you killed the Boar Queen, you did not get a reward?
Not for that. I didn't get the Boar Queen one.
So, like, define reward, like, just get some ornament.
You know how they give you the earmuffs and the jingle bells and all that once you kill the Boar Queen.
I never seemed to have really had that much of a problem there. I think it was only probably once or twice it might have happened. But I know one thing for sure is you got to be there right at the start. You can't like rock up halfway and still expect a reward. I noticed there was one of those Q forum posts like they have for Tao Te Ching that appeared. And he's pretty much gave some instructions where you got to be there from the start at wave one to then see it right through to the end to actually get the reward. I think people who pretty much just probably rock up at wave two thinking they're still going to get reward or later, they're probably... That's when you don't get the reward.
I think they should change that, though.
Well, that's not entirely true. On one occasion, I got there and fired off once on wave two, just as they hit wave three, and I still got the rewards.
Well, that's what I'm pretty much going by my interpretation of what I understand. So it might be different. It might be, you know, be okay in the first.
I just found that I got a lot less rewards. Just like when you go down to the snowman on the ice pond, if you join in late, and then you don't get as much in the way of rewards than you would have if you were there from the beginning and you'd got a load of the snowmen as well. So that was the only thing I found, is I'd got slightly less rewards than I had before, but I still got rewards.
Yeah, you still get something. It's better than nothing, basically. But yeah, for me now with the winter event, I'm pretty much just going to be going in there just to do the deal with the EPO tag, so at least I get some marks and whatnot. I pretty much got everything I want to get out of it, and it's mostly just piling up for next year's event, basically, for me now, and also the simple phases too. Being doing the winter event is not getting me the stuff I need to do my tech upgrades and whatnot, so I know I'm better off being spending more time out in space than in a winter wonderland, so.
going back to the EPOs. One thing that does annoy me is they've got the 24-hour cooldown. I really wish they'd changed that to 20.
They did it with the summer event that it was all 24 hours.
I know. Well, I wish they'd change them all to 20 instead. Especially with like the downtime, people get on late and it completely messes them up. So people end up, they won't bother going in today because I just can't go and run the event because I'm still on a cooldown. Or they want to try and get some extra marks, but they're not going to have a chance to fire them off. So people lose out, and yeah, it'd just be good to have, even if it was 22 hours instead or something, where it meant you could at least catch up to a time which more suited you if you were only able to get into the game once a day at a particular time. Because it's like I ended up working one evening, so instead of getting it done quickly going in early evening, I ended up doing it sort of like 12:30. And of course that completely screwed it all up. It's just like, oh. That's not good. But yeah, it'd just be nice for them to sort of match more to what they're doing with a lot of the other events, because those cooldowns, they are sort of 18 hours or 20 hours. So it'd just be good to have them all matched up. So you go in and run all the events that you want to run, rather than thinking, oh, well, I won't actually bother today because I've missed it already. So, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that is understanding, because you probably go in there to do the race to get the Q picks, or glossy picks, whatever we want to call them, and you know, while you're there, you probably want to go get your epos done as well, but you have to wait like 4 hours, up to 4 hours for it to kick in. So yeah, it's understandable why it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, so it'd just be nice for them to change that timer, and the same when it comes to the summer event, is just to make sure all the timers are the same.
Epos, cute and cuddly Epos, get your Epos. Would you like an Epo friend?
Yep, I want the marks. So far, I haven't bought any of the kit from the Delta Rep. What I'm doing is I'm just getting all the marks together for the moment. So I think I've got about 1,500 Delta marks.
You said a kit from the Delta marks, or a kit?
Oh, kits. You get space kits, ground kits.
Oh, from the Delta. Yeah, I didn't buy any of that. The only thing I got was the bio gel pack. Put it on the ship. That's
now
worth
fixed
it.
That. I've got that as well.
Definitely worth it.
Because I'd got I'm flying the Intrepid Design, although it's actually the Pathfinder ship. So I thought, yeah, I'm gonna have to stick the bioneural gel packs on there. Need something to collect the fleas. So yeah, that's the only thing that I've got as well, is that one. But I know I want to get the other kits just in case I ever want to use them. So I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll build up the marks, and then it'll be basically building up the dilithium, because at the moment I build up a little bit of dilithium, and then I'm spending it all on upgrades at the moment.
Right.
So I thought, rather than slotting things and then thinking, oh, actually, I want to quickly get that because of this reason, I thought, well, I'll just build up the marks, so that way when I need to get something or want to get something, I'll get it once I've got all the stuff that's required, to be in the position of slotting a load of stuff and all of a sudden I can't slot anything else actively because I'm still waiting for some rare material or something which I haven't got, or dilithium.
Well, bummer you can't get the R&D packs right now from the Z store, because I'll tell you, it is worth it. It is quite worth it.
Well, I usually get my stipend around the middle of the month, so hopefully I should get 500 Zen soon to...
Well, just to get my point across so that you understand, it is proper worth it. How about that? Proper. No, it really is. I can't rave enough about the R&D packs, but for those that can't afford it, get it. And those that can't, keep grinding. Keep grinding, baby. You'll be there soon.
Now, The only other bits of news we've got is actually from a listener. Admiral Aaron is running his own Foundry mission competition at the moment. So we'll have the link in the show notes, but yeah, it actually finishes in a couple of days, actually. There's not much time to sort of enter it. Basically, all you need to do is to play his Foundry missions and take a screenshot of your favourite part of it, which I thought was good, but then I thought, how do you know that's your favourite part until you've played it? Wouldn't that mean you've actually got to play it a second time?
Yeah, it means you have to play it again.
So, unless you thought, that was good, I'll take a screenshot, but then half the time the really good part's gone. But I thought, well, it's something different. It's nice for the community. So basically, he said, play one of two Foundry missions, one called Adrift and one called Variance. So either one of those Foundry missions, and basically just take a screenshot of your favourite part. So he goes, selfies are not required, but I'll let you take a selfie. I thought, well, your character's always in it.
Can I give my opinion on this?
Yeah.
I think this is just somebody trying to get people to play his Foundry missions. I get that he's creative and making it an event where it might get people excited, and he did good advertising on the forum. But I just judging by the responses to it, you know, it's just one person responding. So I don't know. I just don't see people doing that right now. Maybe it's bad timing because of the winter event and the Alachi red alert that's going on. So people are more focused on other things right now than a forum.
Yeah, well, the person who's posting on it is actually him.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's one thing with Admiral Amron. He really knows how to use his social media to promote his missions and stuff like that. If you ever follow him, he's always, doing something with his Foundry missions, whatnot. And he does spend quite a lot of time and work in doing these Foundry missions. I haven't got the opportunity to play myself yet. Naughty me. But, yeah, he really gets out there and promotes his Foundry missions in a social media capacity. I don't know how you try to see if it works if I try and do something within the forums, but it's one thing I know with the Foundry now these days, you only can get a certain amount of players, and he goes very, very quiet with your Foundry missions too. So yeah, but the only way you can probably get them really going is get them to be Foundry spotlighted, which is, I don't know what is going on with the Foundry spotlight these days, especially when Smirk's taken over from them. But anyway, that's another story in itself. But if you're interested in getting yourself into a your character into a Foundry mission, yeah, definitely have a go, but make it quick because you only got till December 15th.
Yeah, but as you sort of mentioned, the mission that he's creating at the moment is called Redacted 13. So the winner will actually get their likeness and name of their character actually in the mission.
Yeah, I think the redacted part is the withdrawal of the real name of his Foundry mission.
Possibly.
Part of that, yeah, well, it is, because he's done it before with his other missions he's done.
Okay. But, I think it's definitely a good try for something different.
He's made his own little non-disclosure agreement, basically, with his Foundry missions, just to keep people enticed and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, as I said, it's definitely an interesting approach to promoting the Foundry mission. So I hope people have actually emailed him with their submissions. So if you would like to participate, send your screenshot to midnightbeatlc84@gmail.com or go to the forum thread. There'll be a link in our show notes for that. And unlike with me, he spells midnight the correct way. I think MIDNIGHT.
Unlike you.
Yes, unlike me, who spells it MIDNITE.
I will say this. If the guy gets 500 entries, I'll sing I'm a Little Teapot. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay, let's see. 500 screenshots to do tomorrow on my to-do list.
Exactly. No, 500 people who participated sending a screenshot.
You said 500 submissions. You didn't say 500
No,
people.
Not from the same person. You do not have enough time to do that. All right.
Very, very true.
Yeah, 500 screenshots or 500 snowmen to kill. Make your choice.
Yeah, I want 500 separate people with screenshots to give them, and I will sing I'm a Little Teapot.
So, but no, good luck to him. I hope it's able to drive some traffic to his missions.
Yes, he has 3 days.
Indeed.
From the time we record this.
Oh, that's true, huh?
Yeah. Now, next up, some Star Trek news. Bit what was touched on last week on Star Trek 3, or some of us Star Trek 13. All about Roberto Orci not being involved.
Can I preface this with we don't care? I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? My bad.
Well, we still haven't heard anything from Paramount. Now, Orci's come out and put messages on the forums or message boards of, I think it's TrekMovie.com, basically saying he's staying on as producer, so he's not gone completely. It's just he's not directing. That's the only thing he won't be doing. So it looks like the script is still happening, and he'll still be advising on that side of it. But yeah, he's just not directing the film. But there is a campaign on the social media sites, which is hashtag bring in Riker. So lots of people trying to get Jonathan Frakes to direct, and he's actually come out and said, yep, I would love to do that. So
yeah,
hopefully Paramount are looking at him.
I've been hearing quite a lot of things. There's some little bit of inside sourcing that's been leaked about my reasons why Orci got dropped from the director's chair. Is like when they put the script together and forwarded to Paramount and stuff like that, that they realised that the script sounded, it was pretty much in line with a Titan novel. And Paramount then said, no, well, no, that's not right, you know, and it obviously didn't go down terribly well, and to keep the peace, basically, I think Orci stepped down, basically, to, you know, keep the peace, and now to...
Oh, he didn't step down.
Or got sacked, or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever,
there you go.
he got off the chair, basically, in one way or another. So and
yeah, because all the Titan stuff is CBS property, not Paramount.
That's right. And that's, you know, if anyone's wondering, that's Star Trek Titan, the novel series.
Do you have a link to where you saw that information?
I only got told it. I don't know what link is where the link has come from.
Because I haven't heard that.
If people do Google searches, they probably could find some information about it.
Okay. So, if you had a link, I'd include it in the show notes for people to check
out. I've actually been saying ever since the last Star Trek movie that came out where they basically regurgitated Wrath of Khan, that they should have, that I would love for Jonathan Frakes to, you know, direct the next movie. I've been saying that for years.
Jonathan Frakes is a good director.
He's a good director. That's
he knows Trek. It's one thing he definitely knows is his Star Trek.
Yeah, he's definitely qualified. He's qualified to do the next Star Trek movie. So I think they should get someone like that
Didn't Frakes do Insurrection and I think First Contact?
Yeah, I think he did.
Because I think he directed both those films.
Yeah, he directed First Contact and Insurrection. And of course, we're talking with being with Terry yesterday. She was actually mentioning about a story with Insurrection is the one that with the Romulans, isn't it?
Insurrection is the one where they cloned Picard, and they had that's when they introduced big old.
Yeah, he didn't direct that one.
Lionfish. Didn't direct
that one. It was the other one with F. Murray.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's called Insurrection, right? Isn't that Insurrection with F. Murray?
That's Insurrection.
Yeah, F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah, he directed that one. Nemesis, that's the one. Yeah, Nemesis, that's the one I was thinking of. With Nemesis, he actually got the script early and actually read through it and stuff like that. And he actually pointed out quite a few things that might need to look at. And it was just basically like simple changes and stuff like that. And there was actually that scene where he did the fight scene with Ron Perlman. Towards the end of the Nemesis, there was a scene there that it was fighting up in high ramp and stuff like that. And it was just out of place because all they had to do was just change the floor level, on that particular floor or something like that. You know, it would have made that scene okay. And there was quite a few other places through that film that. Riker pulled out, say, well, we need to look at that and fix that up and stuff like that. But the director pretty much just ignored him and just went and did his own thing. And of course, he wasn't a Trek fan, didn't know Trek as well as what Jonathan Franks did. And that's how come the film ended up being so bad. It probably also didn't help that it wasn't a terribly good script in the first place, but it could have been improved quite a lot if you actually had someone in there. Probably actually would have had Jonathan Franks directed it. It probably would have been a lot more better film.
Well, hopefully Paramount are taking note that lots of people were asking for this, and so the fact that he's actually said, yes, I'd love to do it, whereas there's a lot of directors out there which, just the fact that it's Star Trek, just it's like, yeah, not touching that.
Because I've also, one thing, though, extra thing I've actually got told of too is like Bad Robot is pretty much on borderline at the moment with actually be able to do this film. Like Paramount's getting pretty damn close to actually pulling the rug out from underneath them for doing Star Trek 3. So,
well, the thing if they wanted to make it for the 50th anniversary, one Bad Robot have got to basically get started on it in the next 6 weeks or so properly. But the thing is, they can't exactly go and find another company to go do it because they definitely won't make it. They're stuck with Bad Robot because they want something out for the 50th anniversary.
I really wish they never jumped in bed with Bad Robot. And the reason being is because when you got J.J. Abrams, yeah, he's a good director. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to take anything away from him, but he does not know Star Trek. And his movies show that he doesn't like Star Trek. I mean, he can make something that he doesn't like and make it flashy and wow and action for those that don't know Star Trek. But for those who have been Star Trek fans for over 40 years, he's totally ruined it. And then he wanted to get rid of all the memorabilia, all the sales of Star Trek stuff, and that people could only buy the stuff from his world. I don't like that. What makes him think he's he's God? What's up with that? I don't appreciate that at all. And I wish that Paramount and CBS never got in bed with the dude. Should have just kept it in house. Got Jonathan Frakes or LeVar Burton. They've directed many, many episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. They know what they're doing. They know Star Trek. They enjoy Star Trek. Get somebody who loves it to direct the movies, you know?
The thing is I suppose Paramount's more than likely wanting to keep it separate from the TV series for a reason, because it keeps it all under their control.
Yeah, but if you're using the same characters from the TV series, how is that keeping it separate?
I think it's just to do with the parts of the licensing.
No, but how does that... No, honestly, answer my question. How does that keep it separate? If you're using the same characters from the TV show in the movie.
Yes, well, it's still all owned by CBS. You know, CBS owns the license to Star Trek. You know, they pretty much still have the final say with everything. Just that CBS and Paramount don't get into bed with each other like they used to. Like back in were doing TV Star Trek and whatnot and the films. But they're now parted ways and stuff like that, and they pretty much did a special condition contract or something like that. You know, I don't know what the exact wording would be used for that sort of thing, but yeah, they pretty much just, and that's why they've done what they've done, to try and keep it separated from what you have on from what's been made already. So you know, but of course, you know, it's all done by people who you know, if yeah, you know, Ron Roddenberry was still around, we'll probably say, let's have a cup of coffee. Now, this is the reason why I made Star Trek, you know, well, let's sit down and have this cup of coffee, type of thing, you know, than what it is now. So
I guarantee you, if Roddenberry was still alive, Star Trek, the TV shows would not be owned by CBS and the movies would not be owned by Paramount. It'd be owned by one company. So something happened and all it's doing is bringing a rift. And you get these crappy movies coming out. Yeah, you're getting these crappy movies out now. That's just my opinion, you know. It's a podcast. Say my opinion.
Indeed. Well, hopefully we might hear something soon from Paramount, but... Yeah, knowing them, we probably won't.
Nope, probably not at all.
After Christmas,
they'll probably bring in Woody Allen to make the next movie or something. Who knows?
Well, quite honestly, I've said this for a fact. You can probably find half the Foundry authors can probably do a better job than J.J. Abrams.
That's what I'm thinking.
Now, I think that's all the news we've got, unless anybody else has got anything. No? Okay. Woody, you, going back to the Foundry, you've spotlighted another mission.
Yes, I've brought up, went digging and found this particular mission here called, Abercrombie. Yes, it would. It's only a name, but it definitely stands out, so that's why I played it. It's, the mission's author is called... Drazor Southclaw, so he's definitely got some rhyming there happening. It's a Federation mission. You would need to be like level 48 to play, because you will. It's like costumed, but you do play Borg characters. So just a note there. Basic outline of the story is you get asked to come back to the Starfleet Academy to take part in a examination of a holosuite test there with some three cadets that are known for not getting into into no good things, nothing in the way of breaking Prime Directive, but might spend a night or two in the brig type thing there, but they haven't been kicked out of the academy at all for what they've done. So you sit there to go through, play this test in the Holy Suite, and things all go wrong, and you have to help out and sort out and try and get out this this Holy Suite mission in some ways. So it's a good story. I do see how he goes about his mission and stuff like that. It's not a console clickers type mission. It's mostly diagram and battle scenes, but it does seem to, as mission goes along, it does seem to get a little bit on the repetitive side with the battle scenes. There is quite a lot of battle scenes, especially on ground with this particular mission, but I did mention that, you know, in my review that, yeah, it did get a little bit repetitive with all the fighting and stuff like that. But I know it's a bit of a first Foundry mission, authored Foundry missions thing that happens. I've done it, other authors have done it, where their first Foundry mission is mostly bulked in fighting. So a lot of pew pew pew. So, but other than that, it is a good mission. It is a long mission, so since it's got some length behind it, it is very, yeah, it is in hindsight very rewarding when it comes to dilithium. So just for completing the mission without turning in the actual have to turn in there, I did get like 1900 dilithium from it. So it does have its rewards there for its length. So give it a try. And certainly encourage him to continue making Foundry missions, and hopefully he can gain some experience and learn from his mistakes and whatnot to give it another try. So the mission's again called Yes, Albert Crombie. Yes, it would, by Drezza Southclaw. So yeah, give it a try. But obviously we're going to be announcing it with next week, but I won't give a Foundry mission a miss for next week. So this will be the last Foundry mission we're going to be reviewing for the year.
Yeah, it'll be a busy week next week.
Why is it going to be busy? I'm going to have fun.
We will be having fun.
You're darn right we will.
Lots of people.
We'll be busy having fun, I think is the terminology.
There we go.
So next week we are having a triple Christmas party. So we're inviting some of our guests back. So as it stands, so still trying to get things properly sort of checked and made sure people can attend. But because of the time of year, lots of things are up in the air with everybody at the moment. But as it stands, we should have some people here from Fifth Passenger. We should have Larry Nemechek, Captain Smirk, and I've also invited along our friends from other Stoke podcasts. So we should have people here from Priority One, The Stoke Show, Podcast UGC, The G&T Show, and hopefully even the Foundry Roundtable. So we'll be talking about Star Trek, Stowe, Sci-Fi, 2014 and 2015.
Awesome.
Basically just having a laugh.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I think it'll be a good show. Everybody shows up. We get to talk with some good people, get some laughs in, talk a little bit about Star Trek and Star Trek Online. That's pretty cool.
So definitely join us live. If people have got questions they'd like asked or even talked about, we'd love to have discussions with you guys in chat. So if you would like to join us live, just head over to twitch.tv/holosuitemedia and you can put all your messages and comments in the Twitch chat there. And if you can't remember what time that we're live and don't remember hearing it in the intro and outro, it is 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern, and that will be December 19th. And hopefully we shall see you all there.
Oh, it'll be a good party.
Yeah. Alrighty. Thank you everybody for joining us. And we'll see you all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
See you later.
Bye.
Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Tribbles in XTC, or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to tribblesinextasy@gmail.com. Join us next week for another episode of Tribbles in Ecstasy, the only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.